news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
According to a new NBC News tally, the United States recorded a record 45,557 new coronavirus cases on Wednesday. So the United States has now recorded more than 2.3 million COVID-19 cases. And the three most populous states in the nation are setting records for new cases daily. California reported more than 7,000 new cases on Tuesday, wiping out a record they hit a day earlier. Florida and Texas both announced they had each recorded more than 5,000 new COVID-19 cases on Tuesday. Disney even postponed the opening of Disneyland indefinitely. And governors are urging people to wear masks and stay home. New projections show that nearly 180,000 Americans will die from the coronavirus by October 1st unless just about everyone starts wearing masks. The U.S. fatality forecast would drop to 146,000 by October if 95% of Americans wore masks in public. What's the problem here? I know. It's the Trump administration who has apparently ghosted the coronavirus. COVID-19 testing centers across five states, Colorado, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Texas, are set to lose federal funding next week after the administration decided not to extend the program that established them. Amazing. We also have a major crisis brewing at the Justice Department on a few different fronts. First, a federal appeals court ruled Wednesday that U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan must dismiss the criminal case against Donald Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn. The appeals court, in a 2-1 decision, said Sullivan does not have the authority to examine the Justice Department's reasons for dropping the prosecution of Michael Flynn, who pleaded guilty twice to lying to federal agents about his contacts with Russia's ambassador in the time between Trump's election and his inauguration. The DOJ moved in May to drop those charges after Flynn asked to withdraw his guilty plea. Thankfully, Sullivan is not rolling over. He immediately stayed all proceedings in the Flynn case, with experts explaining that that move was to make way for an on-bank hearing by the full court instead of a three-person panel. Stay tuned. In a hearing at the House Judiciary Committee on Wednesday, we heard the details about allegations that Attorney General William Barr and his top deputies exerted pressure in some criminal cases, quote, based on political considerations. Aaron Zielinski, an assistant U.S. attorney in Maryland, testified that he withdrew from the case due to what he described as heavy pressure to go easy on Republican operative Roger Stone because he was a longtime ally of Donald Trump's. John Elias, an official in the DOJ's antitrust division, testified that Barr ordered investigations of marijuana company mergers due to a, quote, personal dislike of their industry. Elias said Barr, quote, poses the greatest threat in my lifetime to our rule of law, a sentiment also echoed by former Deputy Attorney General Donald Ayer, who held nothing back in describing the threats posed by the current Attorney General.
I was privileged to serve in the Department of Justice under two Republican and one Democratic president, and I am here because I believe that William Barr poses the greatest threat in my lifetime to our rule of law and to public trust in it. That is because he does not believe in its core principle that no person is above the law. Instead, since taking office, he has worked to advance his lifelong conviction that the president should hold virtually autocratic powers. That includes immunity from nearly all checks and balances and being able to accord special treatment to himself and his friends. The system that Barr is working to tear down was put in place in the aftermath of the Watergate scandals, which involved extensive government corruption and caused a widespread loss of trust.
The Democratic National Committee on Wednesday told delegates that former Vice President Joe Biden would accept the party's presidential nomination at a mostly virtual convention in Milwaukee in August. So they should not plan to attend. The DNC said after consulting with health authorities about the COVID-19 pandemic, it determined that state delegations should stay home and conduct their official convention business remotely. Wisconsin's Governor Tony Evers, a Democrat, said in May that a virtual convention would avoid overwhelming the public health system and putting the delegates and others that come to the convention in harm's way. The scaled-down event will be moved to a smaller venue. It was already moved from July to August due to the pandemic. The weekly job numbers are out, and another 1.5 million people filed for first-time unemployment benefits, a larger number than economists predicted. From the Your Votes Matter files, the Republican-controlled Senate on Wednesday confirmed its 200th federal judge nominated by Donald Trump. The 52-48 vote to approve seating Corey Wilson on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit marked a symbolic milestone in Mitch McConnell's efforts to forge a more conservative judiciary. Susan Collins of Maine was the only Republican to oppose the nomination. McConnell boasted that Williams' confirmation meant that for the first time in more than four decades, there are no circuit vacancies to be filled. You might recall, during President Obama's term, the Republican-led Senate continuously blocked President Obama's nominees. Just saying. A grand jury in Georgia has indicted the three men responsible for Ahmaud Arbery's death on malice and felony murder charges. Meanwhile, the calls and protests for the arrest of the police who killed Breonna Taylor continue growing. It's been 3 months since Taylor's shooting death in Louisville, Kentucky. So far, police fired one of the three detectives who shot into her apartment in March. One firing, no charges, not good enough. And finally, I've been holding off publishing today's edition of What's News, waiting for the Supreme Court to announce more decisions, as the term officially ends on Tuesday, June 30th. With 14 decisions still to be announced, the Supreme Court is taking their time, announcing only one. The decision written by Justice Alito was 7-2. Breyer and Ginsburg concurred in the judgment. Sotomayor and Kagan dissented. It essentially hands Trump another anti-immigration win, canceling habeas corpus for certain undocumented immigrants seeking asylum while in federal detention. Lovely. And that's it for today. Wow. So there are 13 more cases still to be announced, including abortion rights, birth control access, and Donald Trump's financial records and tax returns. Stay tuned. And that's just a bit of What's News for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.